the good news of Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You hear me? Lovely. Good morning, everyone. Lovely to be with you this morning. Many of us know what it's like to walk into a season we never planned. We had a picture in our minds of how life would unfold, how family would look, how work would go, how the future would take shape. And then something happened that quietly or suddenly changed the direction of the road. Someone once described driving home late at night when a familiar road was unexpectedly closed. A detour redirected them onto streets they didn't know. In the dark, with no clear sense of how long the journey would take. There was no panic, just uncertainty. A feeling of, this isn't the way I expected to go. Later they learned why the road had been closed. An accident lay ahead. What felt like an inconvenience was actually protection. The detour had not been a mistake. It had been an act of care. Matthew 1 begins with people standing at similar crossroads. Mary finds herself carrying a child she didn't plan for. Joseph faces a future he does not understand. Nothing looks simple. Nothing feels straightforward. And yet, quietly and faithfully, God is at work. Before there are angels singing or shepherds rejoicing, there is confusion, trust, and obedience. There is a God who enters human uncertainty, not to shame it, but to redeem it. As we turn and we've looked at Matthew 1, 18 to 25, we are invited to see that the God who came at Christmas is a God who meets us in the unexpected turns of life. Not hurried, not distant, but present with us. We see a divine detour. Mary didn't plan the pregnancy. Joseph did not plan this path. And yet through what looked confusing, painful and disruptive, God was carrying out his perfect plan of salvation. The story of Jesus' birth reminds us that when God interrupts our plans, he is often revealing his purposes. What seems like disorder may actually be divine design. And the God who reroutes our lives is the God who comes near to walk with us. Today, as we read Matthew, we encounter miracle, mercy and majesty. And we discover a God who is not distant, but with us. Matthew introduces the birth of Jesus in a way that immediately confronts us with two truths. God works in miraculous ways, and God works through ordinary, faithful people. In these few verses, heaven touches earth. The eternal enters the temporal. The creator becomes a creature. And God uses a simple carpenter and a humble young woman to bring his salvation into the world. What Matthew shows us is not merely how Jesus was born, but why he came and what his coming means for us today. So our three points we will seek to explore are the miracle of Christ's conception, the mercy of Joseph's obedience, and the majesty of God's presence, Emmanuel. Let's go deeper into the theology, the humanity, and the personal implications. So point one, the miracle of Christ's conception. Matthew wants us to know that the gospel did not originate from human ingenuity. It did not arise from political schemes, philosophical reflection, or even religious reform. It began with God stepping into human history. The phrase, through the Holy Spirit, is the heartbeat of this section. Point A, why the virgin birth matters. The virgin conception is not an ornament of the story, it is the foundation. Without it, Jesus could not be our Saviour. If he were merely human, he would inherit Adam's sin. If he were only divine, he could not represent humanity. But being both fully God and fully man, he bridges the gap between heaven and earth. This is why the virgin birth is essential. Only a sinless Saviour can save sinful people. The miracle of his conception makes possible the miracle of our salvation. Point B, God works in the hidden places. Notice how quiet the miracle is. No flashlight, no heavenly choir yet. No celebration at this moment. Just God working in the hidden places of Mary's womb, accomplishing the greatest miracle the world has ever seen. God still works like that. Some of his greatest works begin in a hidden prayer, a quiet surrender, a private struggle, a small step of faith, and a secret place of trust. Do not mistake silence for absence. When God seems hidden, he may be forming his greatest work inside the ordinary moments of your life. The miracle of Jesus' conception is not merely about how he entered the world, it reveals who he is. The incarnation tells us that God does not save from afar. He does not shout salvation from a distance. He steps into the darkness himself. Think of it. The God who spoke galaxies into existence entered the world through the cries of a newborn child. The one who formed the stars allowed himself to be held in the arms of Mary. The one who holds the universe together by the word of his power became dependent on Joseph to hold, carry, and protect him. This is humility. This is love. This is our God. And because Jesus came into the world miraculously, he can enter your life miraculously as well. There is no situation too complex, no heart too hardened, no past too broken for the Holy Spirit to perform his work. The same Spirit who overshadowed Mary can overshadow your life with grace, healing, and renewal. When God steps in, what seems impossible becomes possible, and what seems hopeless becomes a doorway for his glory. We move to point two, the mercy of Joseph's obedience. Joseph's dilemma reveals the heart of a godly man. The text calls him righteous, but his righteousness expresses itself in compassion, not condemnation. Point A, obedience in the face of personal pain. When Joseph first discovered Mary's pregnancy, can you imagine the emotion? Heartbreak, confusion, disappointment, probably even anger. And yet, he chooses mercy. This teaches us something deep. Godliness is revealed in how we respond when we feel wronged. Many of the greatest tests of obedience do not come when God gives clear instructions, but when he seems to give none. Joseph's mercy towards Mary before the angel spoke is a powerful lesson. Your character must guide you even when your understanding is limited. Point B, obedience when others won't understand. After the angel explains the truth, Joseph must make a difficult decision. Taking Mary as his wife would invite whispers, rumours, judgment. It was no different back then than what it is today. Some people would never believe his explanation. Others would think he took Mary to cover his own sin. But Joseph obeyed anyway. Obedience often looks foolish to the world. Obedience sometimes costs your reputation. Obedience may require carrying responsibility that God has placed on you without applause or affirmation. Joseph becomes a model of courage because he obeys in faith, not in full understanding. And point C, the silent saint. One striking feature, Joseph hardly speaks a word in Scripture, and yet his life speaks loudly. He teaches us that sometimes the greatest sermons are not preached from pulpits, but consistent obedience. We live in a noisy world where many want to be heard, but God is still seeking people like Joseph, those willing to serve, sacrifice and obey without needing to be seen or celebrated. If we look deeper at Joseph's response, we see a man whose faith was tested in the vessel of confusion. Joseph is engaged to Mary, and a sacred commitment in Jewish culture, legally binding before the wedding ceremony. Imagine the devastation he must have felt when he discovered she was pregnant. From Joseph, we learn this powerful truth. Obedience to God is often forged in moments of personal pain. Some of the greatest acts of faith in Scripture were born in uncertainty. Abraham, in Genesis 12, journeyed without knowing the destination. Moses approached Pharaoh without knowing how he would respond in Exodus 5. Esther entered the king's court without knowing if she would live in Esther 5. And Peter stepped out of the boat not knowing if the water would hold him in Matthew 14. Joseph joins this lineage. He obeys God without knowing how the story will unfold. That's what faith looks like, stepping forward even when you cannot see the next step clearly. Joseph also shows us that obedience often requires letting go. Letting go of control. Letting go of reputation. Letting go of personal expectations. Letting go of our carefully constructed plans. But when we release what we hold tightly, we discover God placing in our hands something far greater, his purpose. Joseph gave up the story he planned, but he gained the role of a lifetime, the earthly father to the Son of God. We come to point three, the majesty of God's presence, Emmanuel. When Matthew quotes Isaiah, he reveals the deepest truths of Christmas. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Point A, God with us in our brokenness. Jesus did not come into a royal palace, but into a broken world, a poor village, a sinful humanity, a confused family situation, a world filled with political tension and spiritual darkness. He stepped into our brokenness, not as a distant deity, but as a compassionate saviour. This means when you grieve, he grieves with you. When you struggle, he walks beside you. When you sin, he offers forgiveness. When you fail, he lifts you up. And when you feel alone, he whispers, "I am with you always." Point B, the presence that transforms. Emmanuel does not simply mean that God is near. It means God is involved. His presence transforms storms into testimonies, wounds into wisdom, weakness into strength, waiting into worship, and sinners into saints. God with us is not sentimental, it's transformational. And point C, a promise fulfilled, a promise continuing. God kept his promise through Isaiah. God kept his promise through Mary. God kept his promise through Joseph. And God keeps his promise to you. Philippians 1:6 says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion." If Emmanuel came then, Emmanuel is still here now through his Holy Spirit. Emmanuel means more than God walking beside us. It means God identifying with us. Jesus did not enter the world as a distant, unaffected ruler. He entered into poverty, misunderstanding, rejection, pain, suffering, humanity in all its frailty. He entered into the human experience so fully that Hebrews 4:15 declares, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." This means when you are tempted, he understands. When you feel misunderstood, he understands. When you suffer loss, he understands. When you feel alone, he understands. Jesus is not only God with us, he is God who gets us. And because he is Emmanuel, you never walk into a hospital room alone, never face a courtroom alone, never stand at a graveside alone. You never sit in your silence alone. You never fight temptation alone. He is with you fully, consistently, faithfully. The God who came near at Christmas is the God who stays near forever. So, what does that mean for us today? Matthew 1:18-25 calls us to embrace three life-changing truths. Number one, live in awe of the miracle. Do not let the familiarity of Christmas steal its wonder. The infinite God became an infant so that you could become his child. Point two, walk in obedience like Joseph. Be obedient even when God's plans disrupt your plans. Be obedient when others misunderstand. Be obedient when the path is unclear. God uses surrendered hearts. And point three, rest in Emmanuel, God with you. No matter the valley you walk through, he is there. No matter the sin you battle, he is there. No matter the future you fear, he is there. Emmanuel means you are never forsaken, never forgotten, and never without hope. May this passage draw us deeper into the miracle, the mercy, and the majesty of Christmas. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you for stepping into our world, our problems, our pain, and our story. We are humbled by your love and overwhelmed by your grace. Lord, help us to marvel at the miracle of Christ's conception. Renew in us a sense of wonder at the incarnation. Let the truth that you came near draw our hearts into worship and our lives into deeper devotion. Father, give us the heart of Joseph, obedient, compassionate, faithful. Teach us to trust you even when we do not understand. Give us courage to follow you when the path is costly, when others misunderstand, and when obedience stretches our comfort. And Lord, may the name Emmanuel rest upon us today. Remind us that you are always with us in our struggles, our fears, our joys, and our daily walk. Let your presence bring peace where there is anxiety, strength where there is weakness, and hope where there is discomfort. Lord God, let the truth of your word dwell richly in us, form Christ in our hearts, shape our character and guide our steps, and let our lives shine with the light of Jesus in a world that desperately needs him. We pray all this in the powerful and saving name of Jesus, our Saviour, our Redeemer, and our Emmanuel. Amen.